Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand spanking new edition of Five and Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week, we have a very special gender bendy top five for you, Steve. What is that top five?
That's right. We're doing our top five gender bent cosplay edition, meaning if Wes and I had to dress up as a member of the opposite sex.
Hypothetically,
and go to a cosplay contest.
Mm-hmm.
What would we dress up as? Our top five countdown of that.
To get first place. To win. Come on.
As we explain further, but as I will explain as well, it was my fault that we did not have a podcast last week, and I would like to personally apologize for you, but I will get to explaining to you right now why it was that way.
Let's start the show.
So as I said, I'm sorry that we could not record last week, but Wes, I had the best intentions. There's a very good reason why we didn't record.
Okay.
And that is because I became the champion of a dog this time last week.
Oh, yes. What happened?
I rescued a stray dog.
Out of a burning building?
Out of a gas station parking lot?
Ooh, was it burning?
No, because I wouldn't be there.
Was there like a mass murdering lunatic?
Let me tell you one place, if it's on fire, I am specifically staying away from. It is a gas station. Like, getting way the hell out of there.
Sure.
No,
unless you really need a gas.
Like, God. My car is really low. Should I put flaming fuel in it?
That's another few blocks to the next one. Oh, boy.
So, Cliff's Notes version.
Who's Cliff?
My buddy lives down the street.
Oh, okay.
This is his version of the story.
Okay, thank you.
Went to get gas, and I saw this little mop thing walk into the middle of the gas station filling area and start barking. I was like, oh my God, that is the grossest looking dog I've ever seen. It's a small dog, but had so much fur. This little walking mop dude. And then
So you rescued it fashion police style?
I did. I was like, mister, get over here.
You know, people ask me, Wes, why do your and Steve's stories take so long to tell? I don't know what to tell them.
I'm a long-winded man, that's all.
That's right.
This dog walked out into Cicero Avenue and which is a very busy four-lane street. Almost got hit by a car and then walked around the corner. I was like, shit. I've got to go help this dog. I had some dog food in my trunk that I keep for my dog in case we're like out at my mom's house or something.
Sure.
And this little guy, he went under this wrought iron fence, and he's a small lap dog kind of dog. And now that he's behind the fence, he's confident and starts barking. He's like, arf, arf, arf. And I was like, okay, you're a tough guy. I see that.
Mm-hmm.
I put some food out, kind of like calmed him down a little bit. And then I realized he went to grab the food, and as he came back under the fence, the fence got caught on his fur, and the fence gate just opened right away. I was like, oh, this fence gate isn't even locked. Like, oh, okay. So I grab the dude, I bring him to work because I'm only a block away from work, and the owner there is a big dog lover. He says we can, but this dog smelled terrible.
Oof.
He had thick mats of fur on his neck, under like all around his neck. The poor guy couldn't lift his tail up because there was probably like 2 pounds of fur in this ball at the end of his tail.
Holy crap.
Yeah, like this dog was in bad shape. Bad shape.
Yeah.
And he didn't try to bite me. As soon as I scooped him up, he was like, thank you, dude. Thank you. Like, I feel like you're going to help me.
Well, that was a talking dog.
Yeah, I mean, that, and I should have mentioned that first.
open the story with that.
Should have mentioned that. But the owner let him stay like kind of in the back of the store for the day. And that evening I took him home. I told my wife about it. She immediately called a couple of people to see if we could find a place to board or foster him for a little bit while we tried to find if there was an owner or whatever. We took him straight to the vet afterwards. They didn't find a chip in him. We brought him back to our house. We washed him and he let us give him a bath, and just this black tar like water coming off. He was so dirty.
Oh my God,
so dirty. And some of the mats of his fur were so thick and so knotted, like we would try to wash the area and he'd kind of like whimper a little bit because it was so painful for him.
Oh my God.
So we get him out, like, and he's just the sweetest little dog, man. Like, I throw a tennis ball, he just right after it, brings it right back. Like, let me pet him and stuff. We were wearing gloves because we didn't know if he had, you know, fleas, if he had, you know,
rabies,
anything. Seriously, yeah. I mean, yeah. You have no idea what he could have. So I'm down. He's staying in our basement for the evening, and I'm down there for an hour and a half with scissors, just cutting off as much of this like thick knotted fur as I can. I don't even know how much hair I cut off.
Yeah,
like probably half this dog's hair, and it looked like I barely did anything.
Yeah.
So we waited a couple days to find out if they, you know, we posted on a bunch of different sites that this dog was missing. No hits on that, and then so there was, my wife works at a law office, and these two gay attorneys, or a gay attorney and his partner, were like, that dog is freaking adorable. Like, if that dog doesn't have an owner, we will take him. So a couple days passed. No one had stepped forward to claim what I named him Chewy.
Of course.
Because he looked so Chewbacca / like Muppet-esque.
Mm-hmm.
Named him Chewy. They came over. They fell in love right away. 2 days later, they had to shave his hair all the way down to nothing.
Like, okay.
Buzz cut. Military cut.
Sure.
And so it turns out he's a little Shih Tzu.
Oh,
yeah, little Shih Tzu, gray and white, and now he lives in a fabulous downtown gay apartment with these super loving gay dudes, and he's their little prince.
How does the dog feel about those two being gay?
He's, oh boy.
Oh man.
Man, this brings me to the real issue. Homophobia in the canine world. So yeah, dude, so
that's great, dude.
Yeah. You know what? It felt really good.
You fulfilled your good deeds for the year, so yeah. You're set.
It felt really good to help this little dude out.
Mm-hmm.
But it drove my dog crazy because we didn't know if he had fleas or anything, so I had to keep the dog separated. I didn't want my dog potentially catching anything. And so when I was downstairs, I was cutting all this fur off this guy, which, by the way, I couldn't sit and get my hair cut for an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
He let me just go at it. Just cutting hair. Just cutting, and maybe like every 20 minutes, he would just kind of get up and like shake and do like a little stretch of his legs. And he'd come right back and let me cut his hair. Like, he knew it was good for him to just get some of this stuff off.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing. But when he was down there, like, you know, I'm talking to the dog. I'm like, oh, good boy. And, you know, like, come here.
Yeah, yeah.
And like saying, but my dog is right above me on the first floor.
Yeah.
So she can hear me talking to this other dog. I'm like, good boy, come here. And she's like, how do I get to you? So apparently she was kind of like clawing at the floor and like trying to figure out how to come and get me because she didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
So a little bit of torture for my own dog, but for a good cause.
Now,
I
let
suppose.
Me let me ask, if nobody had stepped up to claim the dog, would you have kept it?
No.
No?
He's a super sweet little dog. He definitely is, but I'm very, very happy with my current dog situation.
Mm-hmm.
And if these guys didn't take him, we had a foster situation set up, and this is the kind of guy that if he goes to any of the shelters, not like animal control, like not the pound,
mm-hmm.
but if he went to a no-kill shelter, he would have been adopted in like 5 minutes. Like,
sure.
No doubt about it.
Sure.
So yeah, clean bill of health, doesn't have fleas, doesn't have ticks, no heartworm, no nothing. He was just real dirty, real stinky, real matted. And yeah, so now he's living the good life.
Well, that's awesome, dude.
Yeah. And my buddy at work was like, he was like, well, how long do you think he's been out there? I was like, obviously a couple of months with the way his fur is. And he was like, could he have just been, like, he's so well-behaved, could he have been someone's pet? I'm like, I'm sure he's someone's pet, but
yeah.
He's been gone for a long time. It's like, he's like, how long, could it just have been a couple of days for his hair to be like this? I was like, Dan, this would be the equivalent of you not showering for 2 days and showing up in full dreadlocks and, like, a Gandalf beard. Like, that is what we're talking about.
Oh, so this is Dan?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like, full dreads. Gandalf beard. How long does that take you? Like, that's not a long weekend. You know? Like,
well, it is Dan, so it might be a long weekend.
To be fair.
Yes.
But yeah, so again, I apologize for not having a podcast up last week, but it was a sacrifice for the greater good of the homophobic canine community.
That's right. You know what? These are the big issues that we need to face today.
Got
to
tackle them.
Yep. Well, Steve, for all the reasons to not have a podcast, this is not the worst one, but it's certainly not the best.
That's true.
Having an orgy with Christina Hendricks, Alison Brie. You know what? Pretty much our top five lists put together.
An Ooh. Orgy with those. Honestly, an orgy with those 10 women.
What would you do?
I honestly
you
can't.
You certainly wouldn't have sex with them.
No. I would walk into the room and they would all like already be kind of like laying on top of each other in this bed. Be like, Steve, where have you been? I'd be like, I would just pass out.
Yeah.
I would pass out.
It's too much.
Or I'd be like, am I on the holodeck? No, not holodeck. The room you love from Star Trek. Is that the holodeck?
The holodeck.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, man, while you were out rescuing dogs, I was out doing God's work, playing video games.
Thank you. Finally.
Yes.
You are a missionary in the realm of the PlayStation.
Yes. Have people heard of Sony? We should breach their names. Yes, I've been playing some Tales of Monkey Island, a very old school.
I've been doing the Lord's work. Playing Tales from Monkey Island, also known as the Bible.
Yes, this is the gospel from Guybrush Threepwood. We're playing some of that. It's fun. It's a very old Telltale game. It's fun, a little too kiddie at times. There's times...
No.
I know, right?
No.
There's a point, no spoilers, in Chapter 3.
Please don't spoil... Tales from Monkey Island for
me. Tales of Monkey Island, you heathen.
Sorry, excuse me. It's been a while since I've been to the church at Monkey Island.
There's a point in Chapter 3 where you and this other guy get into a face-off. You're like, oh my god, there's going to be some action in this really kiddie game. No, what you do is you make weird faces at each other, and the first person to not be able to make a weird face loses. That's the kind of humor that gets a little too kiddie for me. The rest is just on the just on the charming end. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But it's fun. It's fun. I've been playing some Ollie Ollie 2,
which is 2D skateboarding game.
That's correct, and it is super addicting and super fun.
You know, it's been a long time since I've played a skateboarding game, but this is going back a little bit. But playing the original Tony Hawk Pro Skater when it came out, did you ever play that game?
Mm-hmm.
God, I have no interest in skateboarding whatsoever, and that game is fucking great. It is phenomenal.
Is that the one where you can fly ludicrously high in the air and do like so many different tricks?
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah,
yeah.
You made you feel like a superhero.
That's why I played it.
That's right.
And plus, one of the best soundtracks in video game history.
Yeah, country music.
Loved it.
Yep.
And that was the Garth Brooks edition of Tony Hawk Pro Skater, I think.
That's right. This game does not make you feel like a superhero. It makes you feel like a two left-footed Claude.
Which, for the record, when you're skateboarding, that's not good.
That's not good.
You don't want to be that.
And for all you people out there with two left feet, I apologize. This is not the game for you.
So you're liking an Ollie Ollie?
I love it!
All right.
And I'm zeroing in on that Shadow of Mordor platy. Yes. Again, while you were rescuing this dog, I was playing Shadow of Mordor, Steve.
You know what? There are definitely certain times during this rescue process where I would love to play Shadow of Mordor right now.
Well, Steve, you were doing your own work. I was doing the Lord's work.
It's true. I'm actually very excited about a game I've not yet played, but I'm excited that this game is a big PS4 exclusive, and it is finally supposed to be really freaking good, and it's Bloodborne.
Yeah!
From the guys that do the Demon Souls games.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I know the game is supposed to be very difficult. Great create a character mode, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Supposed to be fantastic, and we have done nothing but bitch about how the really poor game lineup for PS4 thus far in its mm-hmm. life, and these major titles that have just fallen short. The Order, 1887, I think?
1886.
1886. I prefer the sequel that has yet to be released. you know, Watch Dogs was a huge flop.
Mm-hmm.
Just some of these other games we've talked about. And then finally, one that is... It flew a little bit under though that radar slightly, but supposed to be fantastic. So
yeah,
I'm very much excited about playing that eventually.
Yeah, all the Let's Play websites I go to have been doing Bloodborne after Bloodborne after Bloodborne, man.
Well, I mean, if you're going to do a PS4 game, you don't really have many other options. There's not much to do.
That's true. There's like a bunch of smaller titles like Transistor and the new PS Plus free game, Never Alone. I think that's just a PS4 exclusive.
Yeah, but
yeah, what are you gonna do? Good games, but they're not going to knock your socks off.
No, it's not let me run out and buy a PS4 for this.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of let me run out and buy a PS4, I did just put some money down on my pre-order of Arkham Knight.
How do you feel about this?
I feel good.
Okay.
I feel good.
Now, is this the thing I've heard tell about in, you know, in the back alleys of the PSN store? where you pre-order it, and then on midnight, when it comes out, it just automatically downloads and it's ready to go?
I could have done that,
okay.
But I did not do that. Because I'm still old school, and I would much prefer to have the physical copy of a disc.
Sure.
Than download. And there's something kind of fun to me about leaving work on that day it comes out, June 26th or something along those
sure.
lines. Leaving work, going to Best Buy, or GameStop, mm-hmm. grabbing the game, and going home to play it. But then I still have to wait for it to install, and like, well, it's not quite the same as it used to be, but I still like that process, because there's almost nothing else that I get on the day it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just these rare games that I really want, like the Uncharted games, God of War games.
Sure.
I pre-ordered a couple of the other Batman games, too, but there's not much else where I'm like, yes, it's today. I'm waiting. It's this day. Like, there's going to be a thing that happens today.
Sure. Now, Steve, I feel like, before we get into the emails, by the way, we had a lot last week. I feel like we started out this podcast talking about TV, video games, and movies. And in this, like, pre-top five area for the past month or two, all we've talked about are video games. Have you noticed that?
I have. And, changing very soon.
Yes.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but the next time we do this podcast, the best show on television will have come back.
Are you talking about Mad Men?
No, I'm talking about Two and a Half Men.
Syndication, baby.
Oh, my God. I cannot wait. I'm talking about Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
dude.
Baby.
Yeah.
Love it.
Game of Thrones. It's the 12th, I believe.
The 12th.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Which I need it, man, because they took my Top Gear from me.
They did?
They took my Top Gear.
That's right.
Yeah.
So is that done?
Canceled. For now.
Wow.
They had 3 episodes left, I believe, that were unaired.
Mm-hmm.
But since they fired Jeremy Clarkson, the other guys said that they're not going to do the show without Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, it's kind of in this limbo of if they're going to retool the show with new hosts or, you know, what, blah, 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 whatever they're going to do. But
wow.
I don't know. But they took. So I can't even see the last couple episodes that they did. And, man. So
but sucks, dude.
So I'm glad that Game of Thrones is coming back because it's the best.
Yeah, sure.
It is the best. But then I really like the communal aspect of Game of Thrones,
mm-hmm.
where the episode is aired, then the next day it's like, oh my God, it's this great thing to talk about with other people and kind of feel invested in this thing, which is fun.
It's like the water cooler show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a water cooler show at the highest caliber it can be. Like, it happens to be great art that people really dig. It's not like, oh my God, did you see Dancing with the Stars? Rebecca totally is so flat-footed. She's like a two left-footed twat.
Yeah, I think that's how they marketed this to HBO. It's like, gonna be a total water cooler show, guys.
Sold. So, all right, well, water coolers and dragons, hook me up.
Yeah, I feel like they kind of filled that gap that Lost left.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel like that's the last one.
Yeah.
No, I guess.
Maybe The Walking Dead. Breaking Bad as well.
Breaking Bad. But Breaking Bad didn't start out as, like, as hot, if you will, as Game of Thrones.
Sure.
I feel like they had to build up a little bit of steam.
At least a few seasons.
Yeah.
But, Steve, as I mentioned, we have so many emails from 2 weeks ago. And, Steve, first of all, I want to point out that it really surprised me. Out of all the bullshit that you have out and out hated, it took me saying that I don't really care about spaceships for all the hate mail to roll in.
Good, as it should. And you know what? I encourage everyone to write more hate mail to Wes, specifically about his lack of love for spaceships, because he is an idiot.
Oh, man, let me start out by reading Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Sorry, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines. I was drinking a sip of beer when he surprised me with your name.
I'm so sorry. Last week, we learned that Steve is the type of friend who sets you up for creative success and that Wes is the worst.
Yeah! Woo!
This week, we learned that Steve hates circles, clearly the only explanation for hating both the Enterprise and the Falcon, and that Wes is the worst. As usual, I'm going to make my list of five ships, which were not mentioned on the show, but on my actual top five, the Executor, the Normandy, and the Enterprise, it all make appearances. Yeah,
okay, that's fine.
Thank you, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
Thank you, Duncan Parker Newton Gaines.
His number five is the Pocket Rocket from Earthworm Jim.
Wow.
I know. Deep cut.
Yeah, that's... Doesn't it look kind of submarine-ish?
Sure. Yes, it does, actually.
I think so.
Yeah. Just popped into my head. His number four is the Heart of Gold from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Okay.
His number three is the Outrider from Star Wars, Shadows of the Empire.
Wait, the Outrider.
Dash Rendar's ship, equivalent to the Falcon, but with a sleeker design.
Yes. All right. Yeah.
No pachinko machine.
That is a really good pick. And that is, that game goes in the, like, the hall of very good. It's not like even a top 10 game on Nintendo 64. It's like it's that game that scores an 89. You're like, man, sure. That game was really, really good. Mm-hmm. All-time great? No, but really good.
His number two is a Swordfish 2 from Cowboy Bebop.
I never watched it.
I've seen a few episodes. Can't remember it. But he says that it's my small fighter ship, extremely fast and maneuverable, and one of his weapons is called a Devastator-class heavy plasma cannon, which just sounds awesome.
That's good.
You are correct, sir. His number one is, he says it's full-on cheating, the ships from EVE Online.
Yeah, that is cheating. Because that's so many ships.
Yes.
It's so many ships.
You can't choose just one.
My brother-in-law plays EVE quite a bit. So I don't know it really well, but I've seen a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
And God, that game looks so in-depth and so cool. But it is so ludicrously in-depth. Like, I feel like there's no way I can get into it now. I'm like, oh, there has literally been a world going on for dozens of years. People are like presidents and like they have real full-time jobs in this game. And I'm like, hello, how do you fly the ships?
Our next email comes from Brian Pluta. He writes in his top five. His number five is the TARDIS from Doctor Who.
Okay.
Again. Never gotten in Doctor Who, but I feel like I would love it. His number four is the Ship of Imagination from The Cosmos.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
the new Cosmos with the guy from Family Guy. What is it? Seth MacFarlane. Seth MacFarlane produced it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, it's... Oh, my God. I'm going to lose all my nerd cred. Why can't... I'm having a brain fart. The most famous scientist in the world. It's not
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes, thank you.
Come on now, man.
I know. I was having a brain fart.
Okay.
He walks you through the cosmos. That's his like CGI ship that he flies down to like cellular level of things and then like up into the to space to show you the formation of galaxies and yeah.
So it's kind of like the Magic School Bus.
It kind of is like a kick. Ass science magic school bus.
All right, his number three is the Normandy from Mass Effect.
Yes, of course.
His number two is Jehudi from Zone of the Enders.
Wow, going back a bit.
Yeah.
Do you know who developed that game? Not the development. Do you know who produced that game?
Oh, God. Was it DreamWorks Animation?
I believe it was Hideo Kojima.
No idea, man.
That's the guy that does Metal Gear.
Sure, sure.
That was his first game before Metal Gear Solid on PS1, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Or right after it.
So he went more crazy than Space Battles. He went people with bees for armor for
yeah.
Metal Gear.
Yeah,
got it. Okay, his number one is a Super Galaxy Daiguren. Let me read you what he says, because we just both had blank looks on our faces.
Isn't that Japanese anime?
I'm not sure. But he says, this ship is big. The Executioner is 19 kilometers long. Whoa, bringing the facts.
Yeah.
The Death Star is 160 kilometers. Holy crap. Death Star 2 is 900 kilometers. Daiguren is 5,000 kilometers.
What?
Vader's ship would be used as a toothpick.
Whoa.
Holy crap. He goes on, by the way. He says, its power equivalent of a small cosmos. It is capable of going to any desired location through the pilot's thought and willpower. Being such a large ship, inside are countless smaller ships around the size of 5 kilometers, and in those are smaller ships.
Whoa.
Did I mention it can transform into a giant freaking robot? It uses giant drills to destroy anything in its path, and able to slice a planet in half using its sunglasses. He says, yes, sunglasses, as a boomerang weapon. It can fire a massive number of drill cannons in any direction through space, time, and probability. Oh, did I mention it can punch through other dimensions? He just dropped the mic and walked away.
I mean, he has the godship. I mean, that's... But honestly, quite honestly, do you think the Millennium Falcon can take that down?
Ooh, is there like a port in the side?
I kind of feel like the Millennium Falcon could find a way. Because again, and you know I'm not... I love the Millennium Falcon
sure.
as a storytelling device.
You have to.
And I feel like that's the kind of thing Millennium Falcon lives to take down. Just saying.
Yep.
Just saying. But then again, he could just punch through time and space and just destroy everyone. So
destroy Han Solo as a baby.
So this is also a Terminator ship. It could be sent back in time to destroy Sarah Connor.
It sounds like if Galactus from the comics was a ship. This is huge planet eater.
What if the Terminator went, instead of going back in time to defeat Sarah Connor, went forward in time to get this ship to then use the ship to go back? Do you still think Arnold could defend Sarah Connor?
You know what? No, I don't.
I don't know, man.
He can slice the planet in half with his sunglasses.
Yeah, but Arnold's
got sunglasses.
Arnold does have sunglasses, mm-hmm. and he does carry a shotgun. So
sure.
Let's not forget that.
So those giant sunglasses, they're going to be dented.
They might detect a small pain.
We got a couple more, man. We got so many in from last week. We can only read so many, guys. Thank you so much for writing in. But the next one is from Drew. He says, my dearest gentleman. Thank you, Drew. Keeping it classy. He says, and the purple participation ribbon this week goes to Wes. Mostly for his apathy. Seriously, I lost track of how many times he said, I don't really care about ... You know what? I don't really care about your tone. great list, Steve. You really brought up some fantastic ships I had forgotten. Anywho,
God, let's read emails all day. This is fucking great.
Anywho, here's my list. Number 5 is Eagle 5 from Spaceballs, the intergalactic Winnebago.
Oh, no! I absolutely thought about Spaceball 1, and I did... Oh,
man.
God.
His number 4 is Red Dwarf, over a mile long and incredibly ugly, because guess what? You don't have to be sleek and aerodynamic in space.
That is true. What is that from, does it say?
Red Dwarf? I don't know. He didn't say.
I don't
know. Haven't heard of it. But his number 3 is Planet Express from Futurama.
The blimp-ish.
The sleek with the logo and the...
Sleek blimp. What I always get. The sleekest blimp you've ever seen. Sleek space blimp. Planet Express.
Steve, I don't know if it's just your voice or your tone, but I got a raging boner right now. Please keep describing it, but do it slower and deeper. His number 2 is Gunstar from The Last Starfighter. 2 words,
yes.
Death Blossom.
Yes.
His number 1 is, if Wes won't say it, I will, Serenity!
Thank you. It's the first real mention of it.
Thank you, Drew.
Man, and what a big pile of bolts that ship is. But
yes,
heart. It's got heart.
I just want to read this. We can't read the top 5 because another Brian writes in. He's like, hey guys, Voodoo Rage DDS here. First of all, I just wanted to say, quit your bitching about your frenectomy. He says, I do them all the time on little kids. It is not a big deal, you wuss. Point taken, Brian.
Brian, feel free to write in whenever you see fit, sir.
But the Angry Turtle, last one, guys. The Angry Turtle writes in his top 5. First of all, props for mentioning Flight of the Navigator. I thought
yes.
I was the only one who remembered that
yeah!
movie. Steve, you took home the gold, silver,
yeah!
and bronze from last week,
yes!
apparently. At least one guy gave me the purple participation medal. His number 5 is The Ship from the Cosmos series. Another reappearance. His number four is the Axiom from WALL-E.
Oh, that's the... Okay.
With all the fat people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the main reason I would keep it off, because it's full of fat people.
Yeah, but you just tilt it to the side and open the airlock.
God, I love WALL-E. And actually, unfortunately, I think once they get to that ship, I think it is the part, the, my least favorite part of WALL-E. The first half is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Second half, real good.
His number three is the Enterprise, the replicator holodeck. Also, it can travel through black holes. Thank you. His number two is a TARDIS from Doctor Who, of course. Okay. His number one is a Normandy SR-2 yes. from Mass Effect.
Yes.
We don't have time to run through the entire top five, but I just want to point out Timothy Adam Murphy wrote in. His number five is the spaceship that Stitch stole in Lilo and Stitch.
Nice.
Yes.
That's a good one, too.
Thank you, sir.
Guys, thank you so much for writing in all these emails, and thank you for all recognizing how much I destroyed Wes last week.
Now I need to do top five Joss Whedon series so that you could talk about how much you don't care about it.
Pretty sure we'd have the same top five list.
But I would be more passionate.
That, to be fair, I would ramp it up. I would watch. I would cram watch all of them in a week. And I'd be like, oh my God, Wes, they're so fresh in my mind. Remember in season 3, episode 2, minute 7, when Buffy said this? Oh, I bet you don't. Let me tell you all about it.
Actually, I do.
God, if you somehow just busted it out right now without being prompt, that would have been amazing. Would have been amazing. But apparently, I'm already better at this than you.
All right, Steve. Enough of people yelling at me. Let's move on to this week's top five, which is?
We are doing our top five gender bend cosplays.
Can you explain this just a little bit more?
Yes. Yes, I can. So, Wes and I ran with the premise.
I'm sorry, Wes and you?
It's hard to say Wes and premise very close together, I just realized. Mm-hmm. Wes and I wested the the premise is Wes and I are going to some sort of Comic-Con kind of thing. Like, we lost a bet to our wife/girlfriend, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to win this thing.
That's right.
We're not going and like, oh man, I don't want to go.
Well, what thing are we trying to win here?
We're trying best costume, best.
Okay.
You know, we want to stand out for the right reason. Be like, either that costume is hilarious or that guy looks awesome. But we have to dress as a female character.
So basically, we're entering this female cosplay contest, and we're going to enter, baby, and we're going to win.
And we're going to win this thing, goddammit.
That's right. We're not going to have that stupid male ego, like, oh, this is kind of lame, and like kind of half-ass it. No, we're going in.
Going big.
Unlimited budget, possibly.
Yeah.
And we're going full bore, baby.
Yeah. So with that being said, Wes, why don't you start?
Sure. I want to point out, like, when I was Googling the internet, as I like to call it.
Because, of course, you're an idiot.
That's right. Sounds oddly sexual. I'm going to Google your internet, please. By the way, I do say please before I do anything sexual. Even to myself. I'm going to stop now. Anyway. So I was Googling the internet, and I did type in best transgender cosplay, and I stopped myself before I hit enter, because I did not want that on my search history.
Good idea.
But anyway, so my number five, I could not get this out of my head. You're going to think it's lame, but I could not get this out of my head. I think I would honestly make a really good Sarah Silverman. I think...
Cosplaying as a regular person?
Shut up. I'm playing a Sarah Silverman from the Sarah Silverman show. I don't care. I'm going as her. Her face a little bit skinnier. Her nose a little bit smaller. But all I need is some hair extensions, a dress, and some makeup. I could talk with a higher nasal voice. I'll do her stand-up routine. Everybody be in stitches. And I will win that goddamn contest.
A, no you won't.
Yes, I will.
B, that's lame.
I already said it was going to be lame.
So that makes it not lame.
Exactly.
Because you already said it was going to be lame.
But I just think I would make a kick-ass Sarah Silverman.
Guess what? In costume contests,
yes.
you don't get to perform half an hour of stand-up.
Maybe not in all costume contests.
No, because costume contests are about costumes.
We don't know what the cause in, in cosplay stands for. It could stand for cosmody.
To be fair, I have not checked the bylaws if it is a cosmody play. I'm not sure. Man.
Yeah. So there you go. Sarah Silverman from the Sarah Silverman program.
Okay. That's lame. Moving on to my number five.
Come on. I'll have a microphone in my hand the whole time. I'll be saying jokes like, remember that time I licked jelly off my boyfriend's dick? Which is an actual joke of hers, by the way.
Great.
Yep.
Pencil you in for a purple ribbon in that one. I'm going to go with my number five. My issue, the issue I had with this list is like, oh, yeah, that one. Yep. That one. Yep. It's like, oh, no. Those are just costumes I like to see other girls dressed up in. Not mm-hmm. ones that I would go for the win necessarily with. And for because this is an audio podcast, of course, just so you know what the canvas you're working with this fine body.
It's rough.
Wes and I are pretty similar in build and whatnot. So we're both, I'm 6'3", like 175 pounds, tall, thin,
mm-hmm.
No muscle to speak of whatsoever.
God, no. I'm 6'2", 185, so.
So that man is packing some heat.
That's right.
All in the, never mind. And dark, both dark brunettes on both of us.
That's right.
Dark complexions. That's what we're working with here.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm going to do is paint over the whole goddamn mess that I'm going to bring to the table.
Oh, no. Are you going in blackface?
No. God, no. I'm going in blueface because I'm going as Liara Tassoni.
That's my number two.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
God damn it, Steve.
Well, that's my number five.
Wow. You're number five?
Yeah. Oh, I got.
Man.
Oh, yeah. I got things to do, my friend.
You got things in store,
huh? Got things to do.
Sure.
So Liara Tassoni, for those who are not familiar, she is from the Mass Effect video game series, and she's the one that is blue, as I mentioned. And she doesn't have hair, necessarily.
No.
Has, like, what, maybe like three kind of like, I don't know how to explain it without making it sound incredibly gross if you haven't seen it. It's almost like three big like fins on her head almost that like come back like hair in a way.
If you've seen Galaxy Quest, it's Alan Rickman's character, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of hair like that. Yeah. But somehow, she's this blue alien with a killer body, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And but she wears, you know, like a space suit kind of thing. Like... full sleeve, full pant leg, if you will, one piece, like a dive suit kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
up to the neck, zipped up. So, like, don't need to worry about making real nice cleavage or anything,
mm-hmm.
because all you got to just stuff some socks or whatever in there. No big deal, make the fake boobs.
Sure.
And I feel like it's more of the, you know, diving into, like, painting yourself that way and getting the good, I don't know what you want to call it, like the hair things,
mm-hmm.
like having good hair things and painting yourself blue and just really going for it. That's it's all in like the shading and the makeup, and that's what makes that costume, I suppose.
See, that's exactly why I picked it, because like just to show off your makeup skills and all the different shades
yeah.
of blue, and to give you that real life feel. You're not just painting yourself blue like David Cross from Arrested Development.
No, you're not bluing yourself.
You're not blowing your blue. Yeah, you said it. Yeah, just to do that and show off your unlimited budget with your makeup and your fin things and
yeah.
that pantsuit, whatever she's wearing.
Because when we were talking about setting up this top five, the idea is like your wife or girlfriend says, oh, we're going to go do this thing. And you're like, fine, I'm going to call my friends at Lucasfilms, you know, or,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. And they're going to do this up for me. So if I could get legit professional Liara Tassoni paint on me, going gender bend,
mm-hmm.
ain't no thing, dude. Gonna nail it.
You know what, Steve? I'm going to, before I hit my number four, I just want to point out that I just thought of something that kicked the shit out of everything else on my list. But I'll fill that in my number two as
okay.
an honorable mention.
Okay.
But so your number five again was?
Liara Tassoni.
Okay. My number four is Lady Cersei. I picked her because obviously everyone loves Game of Thrones. We just mentioned it earlier.
We did.
But everybody, most everybody, cosplays as Daenerys Targaryen.
Because she's super duper hot.
Exactly. But Lena Headey ain't nothing bad to look at.
No doubt.
She's a very pretty woman. And why I picked her is because like...
you are also a pretty woman.
That's exactly true. That's exactly correct. No, she's always wears these robes that can cover up my manly, awkwardly, knobby, lanky body.
Yes.
And also, again, Lena Headey is a very very pretty woman, but if you were to crop her hair short and put her in a suit, like, she could pass off as a feminine man. So what I'm saying is, I could probably pass off as a pretty good Lady Circe with the right hair and costume, but I'm going to take it one step further. You know, long robes ain't that sexy. Not when you're competing with Daenerys Targaryen, stuff like that. So you're walking around all day in these long flowing robes. Once you get up to the costume contest dais, you rip off the bottom of those robes and you're wearing a mini skirt, baby. You take the blonde hair that's pulled back and you take out the hair tie and you flip it around your hair. Your hair goes wild and suddenly you're sexy Circe.
Wow.
What's up?
Yeah, you're going to do the full like naughty librarian thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
Which I got to tell you, man. In all of the sexy, quote unquote, sexy things, like seeing the nerdy girl, like the glasses, the pencil skirt and the hair pulled up, just that, you know, we all know that all the guys are seeing it right now. The slow-mo pull the hair, like the bun out, it slowly shakes the hair. It's like rock music is going and like boobs bust out the top of the blazer.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That is one of my favorite like cliche quote-unquote sexy things that happen. Oh, love it.
Maybe I could go as like even a Lady Circe librarian with the big glasses.
Getting
too far. Okay,
I'll
take out the glasses, but I will add the rock music.
Thank you.
Yes.
Carry around a boombox with you as well.
That's right.
I feel like once you have to really start explaining your costume to people, it's like, he looks... Well, A, he's a really ugly woman. B, I guess it's kind of, it's like, I don't know, Velma from Scooby-Doo meets Game of Thrones. No. I'm Circe, but I work in the library. And hold on, we're going to get set. Next.
Sorry.
Wait, no.
So my number four is Lady Circe for most of the time, but once she's up there, it's sexy Circe time.
So you're banking on getting yourself up there.
Oh yeah.
And then dropping the hammer.
Oh, dude, there's no question.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna take advantage of the tall lankiness one more time.
Mm-hmm.
And
Gumby.
I'm Gumbying this up. Because no one knows what gender Gumby is.
Nobody does.
This is not one I'm going for with, this is one where I'm hopefully going to walk by people and be like, nice. That's the reaction I'm going for. Not like, oh, what a funny, unattractive, supposed to be sexy, like, just, nice. And I'm going with Sally from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Ooh.
Sally, of course, is Jack Skellington's, you know, love interest, if you will, the woman that loves him.
Mm-hmm.
She's the one that is like that is sewn together by the evil doctor or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm tall, thin, kind of Sally-esque. You know, she doesn't have any sort of really like feminine qualities necessarily, like physically, where she like just have huge boobs, you know, and like or whatever. She's just wears a moderate dress. The main thing is the stitching in the skin and that her mid back length hair to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, again, it's about makeup. It's about, you know, getting the cool practical effects of the insertion of the string through the thread through my body.
Sure.
And I feel like I can, like, because she's not this beautiful character, no one would be trying to like compare me to the beauty of Circe or, you know, of whatever. They'd be like, ah, wow, that just looks really good. And you're tall and thin like she is. Like, yeah, nice, dude.
You know what? I didn't even think, like, when I thought of cosplaying, I thought of stuff that you would see at Comic-Con, like Game of Thrones, superheroes, video games. Didn't even think of stuff like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
That's a really good pull, man.
Well, thank you.
You know what's scary? I can see you as that.
You know what? So can I.
That's weird.
I want to go home and just start stitching my body.
That's probably what you should do.
Thank you. In fact, that was 2.5 and we're out. Gotta go stitch myself up.
All right, that's a good pull, man.
Thank
good pick.
You.
My number three, I'm going. I feel like this is a cliche pick, but you know what? I love it when it's done beautifully. I'm picking Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
Yep. I want to... You see, I really want to stress the unlimited budget of this.
Yes.
Because some women just go there. I'm like, I'm talking about like we're the other women. Like some women go there.
Oh, bitches.
Those bitches go there just with a green leotard and you know, some maybe like they put a fern on their head or something. I don't know. But I want to go all out with like obviously the green leotard. I mean, you have to have it. But like have
I don't think you do have to have it.
Okay. We can explore that. But I was thinking like vines like entwining around my legs, like thorny vines around my arms. It's kind of like a weapon.
This is going to sound disgusting and part of me doesn't want to hear the answer, but I'm going to ask this question.
Vines around my dick, yeah.
Walking thorny as they get.
That's right.
Tell me where this vine is going, starting from a foot here. Tell me where this vine is traveling on the body.
You know what? I didn't even think about it, but if we're starting from the
Think about it right now.
Okay, starting from the big toe, it's going right up. It's entwining around my leg, going past the knee, up my thigh, right up to the taint.
So we've so far on this grand voyage, we have wound around the leg, one leg, now to your taint.
Yep.
And that's where the journey ends.
That's right. No.
To be fair, most things die at your taint.
Two vines, both ending at my taint. Might get crowded down there, but we'll figure it out. Unlimited budget, baby.
Are you doing both legs, or are you going to do one leg there, and then that wraps into like the torso and around?
Interesting. You know what might be interesting, now that you bring that up? Maybe it's some kind of like X shape with the vine, just like a leafy vine coming down my left leg, traveling around the torso to my right arm. And then a thorny vine, my right leg, up the torso to the left arm. But I don't know. I'll have to talk to Lucasfilms about this.
Yeah.
Or I guess Warner Brothers, whoever owns DC
right now.
You know
what might be kind of cool? I don't, again, since I only know Poison Ivy really from the limited, very, 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 very limited comic book experience. And then obviously Uma Thurman from the worst Batman movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one with Mr. Freeze and George Clooney.
Yeah.
Batman Forever.
No, that's three. Batman and Robin.
Mm-hmm. Batman Forever is actually pretty decent.
Yeah, it's all right.
It might be kind of a cool thing to do as a Poison Ivy because, you know, she loves her plants, but yet she has killing abilities, of course.
Mm-hmm.
If you did the two vine thing, one that was kind of like the life vine, if you will, like very like bright green, maybe had like a couple little flowers coming off it sort of deal, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one that went by that was kind of like the old dead kind of ivy vine.
Interesting.
Or, you know, or like kind of like wilted flowers or something. It has the thorns, you know, things that are more associated with death and decay versus like the life and the beauty of alive plants.
Or maybe something like, I like where you're going with the dichotomy. I like the life and the beauty with the flowers and you know, what have you with that. But then have like the danger side of flora with like Venus flytraps and thorns and Audrey 2s. Like, I don't even know. but something like that. I like that.
This is the most artistic we've ever been.
I know.
I feel uncomfortable.
We should probably stop.
And so you're obviously going full-blown redhead.
Oh, of course. With flowers in the hair.
Yes.
Yes, good.
What is the footwear, Wes? What footwear?
Ooh, I didn't think of this. I just thought of her as barefoot with some green toenail polish.
Yep, I actually think that's the correct choice.
Yeah, exactly. Because she loves the earth.
And you're gonna, but you would require. Are you gonna just go your regular flat-chested way, or are you going to try to doll yourself up a little bit in that regard?
I'm gonna have to doll myself up. I feel like I'm gonna have to shave parts of my body that have never been shaved.
Oh God. Yes, please.
Or at least not since I played Dr. Frankenfurter in Rocky Horror Show.
You know what, dude? There's some possibilities in there.
I think so, man.
And you know what, ladies that are listening out there, if you are inspired by what we've said, let us know. Send us the pics.
All right. So that's my number three, a very artsy Poison Ivy.
You know what? I'm glad we hit this point at the podcast where we've said some nice work there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what, like you appreciated my number four, I appreciated the last one here. This is when I start getting cheap. This is when I'm trying to win this competition by everyone saying, oh God. Oh my God. Where they're gonna walk around this, you know, huge Comic-Con going, did you see that guy dressed as X, you know, as the following? Because it gets pretty shitty from here, everybody. Ladies,
start your engines.
Start your engines. Buckle those seatbelts, because here we go. My number three. From the world of Mortal Kombat.
Oh, boy.
I'm going with Melina.
Is that the one with the hair?
To be fair, the only one that comes to mind without hair in Mortal Kombat is Baraka.
No, I'm thinking of Sindel, where she uses her hair as a weapon.
No, Melina, she's had a couple of different looks, of course, as they all did. But she's one of the sisters. I forget who the other one is. But basically what she wears is like, you know, like corsets get tied through the back.
Yeah.
She wears basically a corset, but it gets tied in the front, and mm-hmm. she purposely keeps it open like 2 inches sort of deal. And basically her quote unquote pants, if you want to call it that, is just like ribbon that like goes around her leg in like an X pattern, maybe like twice down the leg.
Mm-hmm.
And she wears a little kind of like surgeon mask.
Mm-hmm.
She's either pink or blue,
or a ninja mask, whichever you prefer.
Yeah, it looks very because, like, to me, a ninja mask though had like they're wearing that kind of Foot Clan kind of like thing over the top of their head as
sure.
well, and then they cover their face.
Mm-hmm.
She just wears it over the face and has her hair showing at the top.
Well, she's just so pretty,
and this is the cool part though. Melina has like Baraka style teeth.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's the cool part about Melina.
Yeah.
So what I'm hoping is that I'm gonna just look like the grossest, like trashy, skinny white dude, which like just dressed in drag, basically. Like in this weird corset with these fake gross boobies and wearing this mask, and like they'd be like, ah, God, it just looks like a tranny walking around. But then, due to the magic of Lucasfilms, I'm going to be able to pull off that mask and just have, like, where they're going to be able to, via makeup, like, make my mouth look bigger than it is, just full of all these razor-sharp, incredibly pointy, bloody teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll pull it away, and they'll be like, oh, God! Like, like that. That is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
That, so it's going to be this, like, it's just going to be, like, a dude with his package and this tiny, like, Speedo-looking thing wearing a corset, a reverse corset. And then you'll be like, ugh, what a weirdo. Then you'll see the teeth and be like, at least that part's cool. But I'll tell you what, my 6'3", and then because I'll be wearing heels, God knows I'm wearing heels with that. So at that point, like my 6'6", gangly ass body walking around in a corset, be like, I'm gonna bring some attention. So like, oh, did you see? And then I'll hear someone say, "Did you see that dude?" And then I'll pull the mask and give him just that creepy eyes with them. They'll be like, ah! And then they'll be like, oh, dude, nice. That's what I'm hoping for. So then, again, once I get up, if I get to the podium, if you will, or the stage area for the contest, I strut out, you know, trying to be faux sexy. God knows it's going to be awful.
Mm-hmm.
And some dude's probably going to, like, throw a beer at me.
Oh, of course.
And then as soon as he does, I pull the mask out. And ideally, I would love, I don't know if Melina even has it, I would love to get, like, a long tongue, like, extension thing as well. And this gross mouth turned with the tongue. I'd be like, yeah, throw another beer. I will eat your heart out.
What if he throws another beer?
And I will drink it.
Thank you.
Because at that point, I don't need the makeup anymore. The contest is over, and I'm done drinking beers.
Sure, sure.
So that's my number three.
All right, man. My number two was Liara Tassone. I'm going to throw in... This is just such a weird thing that popped into my head. First of all, I'm going to go as Ariel. But...
No!
Yes!
No!
No, well, no!
No, that's my number two.
Oh, no! How does it feel, Steve?
Well, it feels fine because it's also my number two, so...
Okay!
We're going a round of twos!
Well, mine's going to be a little bit different. What I want, I don't know how exactly this is going to work, Obviously, in the movie, Ursula steals her voice and keeps it in like that locket thing, right?
Yeah.
So whenever that locket thing, I'm holding that locket thing, I can walk around like a normal human, but I can't talk. But if I crush that locket thing, my legs snap together and like something happens, like a fold over, like a piece of fabric, and like my shoes, I can flip them open, suddenly they're like flippers, and I'm a mermaid again.
That's pretty cool, man.
It is pretty cool.
To have like an automated mermaid machine. The AMM, if you will.
That's right.
The AM2000.
Then if my locket gets fixed, I can take it off and boom, I'm suddenly human again, but I can't talk. But I thought of how fucking weird would it be. I know this is big in Comic-Cons like 3 years ago, so it's probably like really outdated. Like it's probably like, so few years ago. How weird would it be if it was Steampunk Ariel?
Steampunk Ariel. Okay, walk me through Steampunk Ariel.
I have no idea. I picture just the tail being all copper colored and have little dials and
gears and like gears and stuff on it. She is an artificial fish in that way.
Yes, exactly. And she's got the metal again with the gears and with like little whistles and stuff like. You know,
that's steampunk gears and whistles.
Yep,
you're done
covering the old boobies here.
Yeah, but okay, all right. I love the same scales on the mermaid, but mm-hmm. they're copper. I love that. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Because also that's something that they use in like modern roofing and stuff. Like there are copper.
Oh, they use gears and whistles on roofing.
Gears and because so then when it rains, the whistle as the water runs through your gutter, it's like. Don't worry, honey. Gutters are working.
Wow.
But one of the best things about Ariel is the seashell bra.
Oh, yeah.
So how are you going to steampunk up the seashells? That's a tough one. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
It is.
A tough one.
Well, Steve, it's obviously an easy answer. Alarm clocks.
Duh. Actually, no, it'd be cool if you somehow used forks for them. Because
oh, interesting.
She mentions that in the song. That
can even be... Oh my god, that can even be an extra layer to it. Like her fins and her seashell bra is made of her pretties or whatever the hell she calls them. Her treasures.
Yes.
Yes, right?
That, yeah. Yeah.
The stuff that's neat?
Yeah.
Her collection's almost complete? Stuff.
Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my steampunk collection's complete? I've got all the gears and the whistles.
So now I have
everything. And of course, just to finish off the steampunk look, of course she has to have some sort of like headpiece thing with like a telescope on her eye.
Oh, that's of just, course.
That's how steampunk shit works.
Exactly. That's really going to suit her well underwater.
Dude, steampunk Ariel is pretty cool.
I know, right?
That's pretty cool.
I know. That's why I said it kind of blew out some of my other ones.
See, Ariel was my number two. But the reason it was on my number two is because, again, we're going should, big budget.
Sorry. I was like, you should go cream punk.
She's a dairy farmer, but she's had enough. She loves the Ramones, and she will not listen to what her daddy tells her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She is cream punk Ariel. So just to make sure, she's a mermaid who lives under the sea, but she's a dairy farmer, and she's had enough of what her daddy says.
That's right.
And she loves the Ramones.
That's right. King Triton, get out of here.
Get out of here. It's time for Johnny Ramone. Okay, so the reason Ariel was on my number two is because, again, we're going to Lucasfilms, we're going to Industrial Light and Magic is more appropriate, is where we're going. ILM. We're going to ILM, and I want to make a grand entrance. If I'm using their budget, grand entrance. I'm going to be like in a tank of water.
Okay. Oh, I thought you meant like a mobile army vehicle tank.
No, 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 let me rephrase. I'm in a tank of water inside of a tank.
Wow, military aerial. Militarial.
Material. Are you familiar? Because you thought steampunk was cool. Wait until she's shooting cannons at you.
Take this, Ursula, for taking my voice.
I want to roll in a giant water tank.
Okay.
And then I want someone to like come up and like hit the tank like with a hammer sort of deal. And you were talking about the automated, you know, mermaid machine, the AMM.
The mermaidifier.
That's it. As I come out of the tank, I want to then turn into the voiceless Ariel.
Okay.
So like, but I want that transition to happen like in front of people with my costume.
Okay.
So I'll go from seashell bra and mermaid legs to like, I don't even know how it will work. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm leaving it up to Industrial Light and Magic. But basically what I'm thinking, this sounds ridiculous because mainly it's ridiculous and I just thought of it now. Basically, those seashells on the bras, they're basically like airbags. I'm going to follow and go, pff, and then that's where my like regular aerial clothes are going to come out, and then I will not be able to speak. And then they're going to say, oh my God, oh my God, this is incredible. A dude just rolled in a giant tank of water. This other dude ran up, smashed it with a hammer, and now he's fully clothed. He's no longer a mermaid by the time he hits the ground. Unbelievable. They've got to be in best costume. I will roll up onto the stage in best costume, and then I will pretend like I trip, and I fall into the tank of water, and I go back into being a mermaid!
Oh!
And then I will sing beautifully.
Yes, of course.
I will poke my head out of the top of the tank. Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? And it will be unbelievable.
And that guy throws a beer bottle at you again?
And then I will have Melina mouth.
Like, this is my platform. Stop polluting the oceans.
It's going to be great, man. I'm going basically like pyrotechnic-esque.
Steve, I think I found one flaw.
No, there's no flaw.
What happens when you get rolled out in the tank of water? The dude with the hammer rolls up, hits it, the water rushes out, and with it comes your bloated, drowned body.
Well, it's an the open top tank where I can go up and get air. It's not okay. I'm not in like a Houdini style upside down in a straight jacket.
It's like he would have won best costume, but he's dead now.
He's dead. So we give it to
Sarah Silverman.
No. Yes. Yes, I will still be able to breathe. I can, and I'm not even, I've already indulged pretty much all of the budget on this costume, so I will not add in like a scoop, like a super small, you know, breathing apparatus. It will just be me up at the top of the tank, gathering some air, coming back down, or hanging out at the top of the tank. That's all.
Okay.
Okay, I'll give you that much.
Okay.
I have airbag deploying seashell bra.
Okay, yes, you do have that.
So there. I'm going to go number, so both of our number two, your honorable mention, my legit number two, Ariel.
Well, I'm going to go with, and this is going to be the most controversial pick.
I don't know.
But I, oh. Talking about turning heads. I want to be clear. I'm going to go as White Michonne from The Walking Dead with the two zombies behind me. Bloody and tattered. But, you know, just tattered enough to, you know, keep hidden what should be hidden.
Yeah.
But, like, bloody. Like almost like war paint all over my face and my body.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll get two friends of mine to do it. I don't know who would. But I'm sure we can rig something up with like balloons or helium stuff because they don't have any arms or lower jaws. So we could probably paper mache something for heads.
Guess what? No, you're going to Industrial Light and Magic for this. They're not paper macheing shit. They're going to give you a full latex mask of whatever you want.
You're right. But whatever happens, we're gonna have these two things just trailing me the whole entire time.
No, you're gonna have real dudes.
Oh yeah,
you're gonna have real dudes,
real interns at ILM.
Yep, exactly.
Yes, that's what's gonna happen.
Armless. Yeah,
we're gonna cut off their arms.
Yeah. Hey, if they want to get promoted, they got to pay the price.
But yeah, just like how she's walking around the beginning of Walking Dead, that's how I want to walk around.
Dude, that's really good.
Thank you.
That is very well done.
Thank you.
And you're going to have the chains around the neck.
Oh, of course, man.
Oh, that's good.
That is good. And especially with the, if the blood is done just right, yeah. It makes me sound like, or sound, makes me look like I've just been in like a fight for my life.
Yeah.
And I'm tattered and maybe a little dirty. Yeah, man.
It's really good. I like that very, very much.
Thank you.
Mm. And where are you going to get your katana from? Where's your top katana salesman?
You know what? I ran out of budget, so I went to Toys R Us.
You know what? Because I still have a little budget left, I went and got a Hattori Hanzo sword.
Oh, my God.
No big deal.
Oh, man. So I will steal it from you when they wheel out your bloated, drowned body with Ariel with a katana.
You know what? You know what I really like about that pick, Wes, is that it is not, it's not a super sexy woman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's a tough, strong survivor, and you know her character is not predicated on showing boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and she's just an ass kicking zombie killing machine.
Oh yeah, oh yeah,
I like that.
I didn't even think of that, but yeah, that's totally right.
Yeah, totally empowering women, right? Yeah,
yeah, totally. That's
sweet, dude.
That's what I wanted from the beginning.
But speaking of not empowering women, because that's what we're talking about.
This is Steve, everybody.
Speaking about that. I actually want to ask you what your I'm going to do a on the spot top 5.
Oh my God.
Just give me a top 5 that you love to see women dressed up in cosplay. Like your favorite characters you love to see. You're perusing through and be like, "Oh, you, oh madam. Oh madam, yes."
Well, of course, I mean, you know, just because of my predilections with Joss Whedon, of course I'm going to have to go with like Faith from Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, yeah.
Probably, oh, God, maybe Darla from the same universe. I know. But really, dude, I just love seeing good cosplay. You know what I mean?
I do.
Because you can see a wonderful like Harley Quinn costume. Again, it can be very, very sexy. It can be very, very good. But then you can see like a crappy Harley Quinn costume. What the hell are you doing here?
Get out of here.
Get out of here. You should be ashamed of yourself. Get out. I don't care if you're 12 years old. Get out of here.
There's a real... It's interesting to see the girls that try to do like super sexy cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
And I there's guys, of course, that do cosplay as well. But believe it or not, my attention is mostly drawn to the ladies. Believe it or not.
I'm sorry, Steve. Are you a boob man?
I happen to be a boob man. So I just ran down a quick... I made a quick top 5 list as I was on the way here.
Okay.
And I realized, oh, that's right. All of these are women just pushing their boobs up real far, aren't they? These are the ones I love to see. Number 1, Mad Moxie from Borderlands.
Yeah.
Fucking love Mad Moxie.
Good stuff.
Basically just a girl in with like, I don't even know what era, but like white face, like super powdered white face with a drawn on mole and boobs pushed up to, and she wears a top hat.
Let me ask, did Jessica Rabbit make your list?
No, because I talk about Jessica Rabbit too much.
Okay.
And actually, I don't like seeing cosplays of her because she is an impossible character.
Sure.
She's an animated character, and when women try to do it, it's a nice, I almost see it like, that's okay. It's just so insurmountable.
Sure.
Yeah, can't happen.
Sure.
Mad Moxie, love it.
Sure.
Absolutely love it. When women, like big busty women, do the Wonder Woman cosplay,
mm-hmm.
all about it. Also love a good Catwoman one,
okay.
Especially when they do the Arkham one, mm-hmm. like the more modern one, like the tight, like latex, or not latex, like nylon-ish suit with like the zipper up the middle. Love it. And Power Girl. I don't know what the hell Power Girl does in the comic book world, but it's a bunch of girls wearing this white like onesie unitard thing with a big cleavage cutout.
Okay.
And the whole thing is just pushing your boobs up, and I love it. But the one that touches the more sentimental side, but also still huge boob side, is... Yeah, that's right. I said huge boob side. Is Tifa Lockhart from Final Fantasy VII. Love seeing those cosplays as well.
Sure, sure.
And one's completely different. Jack from from Mass Effect. She's the like thinner one, but she's really, really tatted up. And basically, her costume is like belts. She wears
nice.
It's like a belt that goes around like her neck and like comes over her nipples. And then like it's like, what are you? But it looks like she's clothed because she has so many tattoos. It's really, really, really cool.
Sounds cool.
So I just love the ladies doing the cosplay.
Yeah.
But I also love, we actually have a friend, a mutual friend from college, that she did, it won some awards, like some major cosplay stuff. She was at...
Are we talking about Emily?
Yeah.
Okay.
Our friend Emily, she did the nurse from, or one of the nurses from the game Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah. She looked great.
And she joined forces with this, I forget what they're called in the game, but the guys that like...
Pyramid Head?
It's not Pyramid Head. Okay. It's like these giant dudes that like walk on, they have these gigantic fists, and they like, they walk on their fists, kind of like ape-esque, but yeah, these huge muscle-bound kind of dudes. And she joined forces with this guy, and she rode on his back during this Comic-Con. And like, her pictures are all over the internet. It is... Like, it's not sexy at all. It's like scary and creepy, yeah, and like, but it is unbelievably cool. It's so cool.
Oh yeah, she is super, super good. And like, she even has her own cosplay name, I guess, identity.
Yeah.
Cosplay name, I guess, is what you would say. Yeah. So she goes all out. Like, she loves like costumes and wigs and stuff, and she's super good at it. If you guys don't mind googling the internet really really fast,
you perverts,
our friend Emily's cosplay name, pseudonym, that's what I was looking for, it's Aviana, A-V-I-A-N-N-A. Check it out. She's got some great stuff up there. She has great things with, again, costumes and makeup and stuff. Wonderful.
Didn't necessarily mean to plug her, but honestly, her Silent Hill joint forces, you know, costume is so awesome. Anyway, that brings me back to the complete opposite of your number one. You went with a strong, empowered, ass-kicking woman,
mm-hmm,
to get yourself to the number one slot.
That's right.
I'm going with she's strong and she kicks ass, but oh God, am I going cheap? I'm going cheap because the other cosplay I love to see the ladies do when they do right. This is not about the boobs. This is about the butt. And her name is Cammy.
Oh.
Cammy from Street Fighter.
Kylie Minogue?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Cammy is, she basically wears like the Baywatch style onesie swimsuit. But it's green, and she's got like a long blonde ponytail, this like beret, and she has a booty on Cammy. Oh my God.
Yep.
And it's, if for those who, let's just take a moment. When I say Baywatch style onesie, let's remember the Baywatch style onesie.
Ba-da-da, 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 ba-da-da.
The hips on that baby, they go like all the way up.
Oh,
like,
that's right.
They go high. These are the high rise one piece bathing suit.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what she wears. So it is like, it is barely covering the front.
Guys, you should see what Steve is doing right now with his hands.
My hand gestures are a bit erotic.
If we ever needed to do a video podcast, now's the time.
And it is just essentially string bikini in the back.
Oh, that's, yeah.
What, I mean, it is. So again,
Steve, get your hand out of there.
I can't. It's stuck. So, again, I'm just going to be... And she wears, you know, these, like, mid-shin boots,
mm-hmm,
with, of course, like a 3-inch heel on them, because that's of what course you do. So, and you know what? While I am the tall and thin dude, I do have myself a booty.
That's true.
It ain't no Cammy booty, because, to be honest, very few people have a Cammy booty.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a thing of beauty when you do. So I'm basically going to be the super tall, gangly dude with my balls spilling out the front of a one-piece Baywatch bathing suit, with my voluptuous, juicy booty coming out the back, wearing high-heel boots. It's going to be horrendous.
Steve, tell me, why the hell did this make your number one?
Again, I told you I was having difficulty when I first started the list. I was just thinking of things I liked. I was like, oh yeah, cosplay. Yeah, what do I like? Oh, Mad Moxie. Tifa Lockhart. The Power Girl. I'm like, oh man. And then, of course, Cammy just couldn't get out of my mind because she's so damn hot.
Steve, you didn't write this list in stone. You could have changed it.
No, but then that was the beginning of my thought process. Okay. But then again, I'm going for shock value. I'm going for shock value.
It'll be shocking.
It will be shocking. there was going to be a horrendous amount of package action.
There's nowhere for it to go.
There is honestly nowhere for it to hide. There is no, so it's going to be all in front.
It's going to be, you remember the end of Ace Ventura, Pet Detective? It's going to be like that.
Yeah. It's going to, let us not forget though, I am 6'3", so it's going to be a little bit more than that.
That's true.
Thank you very kindly. But that is basically, I'm aware of what's going to happen. And that's part of the reason I'm going for it.
All right.
Because this is, again, this is not a classy move. My wife, so this is the way I'm seeing this. No, you lost. You lost this bet about my bracket for the Final Four was better than yours. Now you have to dress as a girl for, you know, when we go to Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. All right, your funeral, and I show up wearing this. And this, I'm not even going to be walking around this with my wife because she'll be on the opposite side of the convention hall the entire time because she will not want to be affiliated with me. And there's going to be so many drunk dudes. They're not throwing beers now. They're like, dude, let me get your picture. And then it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazingly horrendous.
Yeah. Do not forget about the horrendous part of that.
But and so I'm also assuming ILM is going to be able to like use some makeup on my butt and make it look a little bit better than it actually is. So the way I'm going to get up to the final podium, because there's just going to be a general buzz. There's going to be a buzz on the convention floor, mm-hmm. where they're like, oh my God, did you see that tall, weird balls hanging out, dude, Cammy? They're like, oh my God. But there's going to be buzz. And there's going to be enough drunk people where they'll be like, yeah, put his name in the, you know, the thing to get him up on the finals. Yeah. All right,
Dick
vote for
Cammy,
him.
Go.
Dick Cammy. Kim Dammy.
Kim Dammy.
Dude, that's not right at all.
No.
So I'll be up there. And then my reveal at the top, they'll be like, ladies and gentlemen, Dick Cammy. But I'll be facing with my back first, and I'll have my doctored up butt, and they'll be like, yeah, woo, look at that booty. And then I'll turn, and you'll just hear a general, oh, no, as they see the front of their horror. And then you, instead of that guy throwing a beer at me, you'll hear like, he'll be losing his beer. I will not win, but I will be memorable. And Wes, what's better? You tell me, what's better?
Winning!
I don't know. Who won Comic-Con for best costume 3 years ago? Was it Dick Cammy?
It might have been.
Because they'll remember Dick Cammy. Cammy with balls.
Okay, well, I think we've exhausted this pony. So going to review my top five, which is, of course, you remember my honorable mention, Sarah Silverman. My number five, though, is Lady Cersei turning into Sexy Cersei. My number four was Poison Ivy with the artistic stuff. My number three was Liara with the makeup. My number two, as you'll remember, is Steampunk Ariel. And this was exactly how I presented my list earlier. I don't know what you're talking about. Don't rewind. And my number one was the White Michonne with the zombies, all bloody, tattered, and just got out of a fight for her life.
I'm going to say, Wes, you have a better list overall today.
Steve, oh my God.
You have a better list overall. It does not make up for the slaughterhouse that was last week, but you've done better this week.
Well, good.
My number five interview, Liara Tassoni, once again. Number four, probably my best one, Sally from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
Number three, Melina. Let's not forget the mouth, people. Let's not forget the mouth. Number two, Ariel in a tank of water. And number one, Balls Out Cammy.
Wow.
You know what? I feel like this is one that is much easier for the ladies to gender bend.
Sure.
They can very easily do a Batman, a Superman, a mm-hmm. Captain America, and they can just take those kind of generally unsexy, like not overtly sexy dudes.
Yeah.
If that's your criteria for a good cosplay.
Sure.
There's just so many more strong male characters in this general realm. That's just the sad but truth. That's the sad but truth.
I love how the basic idea of this list was like our wives / girlfriends bet us to compete in this contest. We want to win this contest. And your number one is like, oh, no, I'm not going to win.
I'm not
going
to win. But you know what? Let us hear what the listeners have to say. sometimes being the most memorable is a winner in itself.
God, it's a day that will live in infamy. The day Dick Cammy showed up.
It will be.
And six people turned to stone.
Honestly, and to me, that's a win.
Wow.
I'm only dressing up at the Comic-Con once.
Yeah.
And it says Dick Cammy. And they will never forget the day Dick Cammy turned their wives and husbands to stone.
Well, on that note, ladies and gentlemen, please, we said it before, we'll say it again, we'll say it 100 more times, but it never stops being true. We love, love, love hearing from you guys. So please write us in your top five gender-bending cosplays.
And love to hear from some of the ladies this week, too, of what you'd like to do to mix it up a bit as well.
And it doesn't have to be sexy.
It does not have to be sexy.
Exactly. Yes. So you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com. Steve, am I forgetting anything? Facebook or Twitter?
Oh, they're right around the corner.
I mean, that's going to be the number one.
Just got to hit upload and done. We're good to go. I'll do it tomorrow.
That's right. But as always, I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
That was five.
And we're out.